Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the many blessings you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for just speaking to me through the songs and the good spirit of God that's already here. And you, Lord, I pray that you'll give me grace and help, Lord, to deliver the message you've laid upon my heart. Pray, Lord, for those that may be here lost and without Christ, though I don't think the message, I mean, as far as what I have in my mind, it's more for the child of God, but there could be someone here lost that's heard the gospel in the past, and pray the Holy Spirit of God would deal with their hearts and their lost condition and draw them and save them. And I pray for the saints of God that will be revived. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. So, back at Sooner Rose, we, just because I work a 40-hour week job, and it's easier for me on Sunday night and Wednesday night to have a book or a study to go through, because that way I'm not having to seek something like extremely fresh, but fresh is from Sunday morning. But so Sunday night we're going through, and there's still study involved, but I have a direction already on Sunday night, Wednesday night. So I'm Sunday night we're in 1 Peter, and we started in 1 Timothy, and we just kind of went on through. And then Wednesday night, we're actually going through Elemental Theology, Dr. Bancroft's book on Elemental Theology, which starts off with Bibliology, and then Theology, study of the Bible, study of the Scripture, study of God, and Theology, and now we're in Christology, the study of Christ. And we're to the point on Wednesday night where we've seen the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, and now we're looking at the characteristics of Christ, or God's, or Christ's character. And in his character, we've seen the one attribute of his character, and now in the character of his love. And that's where we was at Wednesday night. And so it gives the definition in his study in the way that Mr. Graham, and he writes it in an outline form, and we had it in our little Bible Institute back here years ago, and so he has an outline form, and then so we got to the point with the definition of the love of Christ, and then the next point was the objects of the love of Christ. And there's several objects listed, and we only got through three Wednesday night. And the first object is found in John chapter 14 and verse 31, and that's God the Father. God the Father is the object of Christ's love. John chapter 14 and verse number 31. By this shall all men know. No, that's the wrong one. I'm in the wrong place. There we go. I'm in 13. There we go. 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And so, at this end of this chapter here, he's writing, he's saying, he's doing, that the world may know that he loves the Father, and we see that expressed in his obedience, even the obedience in the death of the cross. So he expresses his love to the Father, and here, and so the Father is the object of Christ's love. The church, you know where I'm going, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we see here, the church is an object of Christ's love.
Yes.
And much to be said, I kind of want to run a little rabbit to our men. Because of the word husbands there, I said we dealt a little bit with that. And we talked about as husbands, and when we talk about the love, how that we sometimes Of course, in the definition of Christ's love, it spoke of the finite versus the infinite. And we, in our finite beings, can only get a small glimpse and understanding of the love of Christ. He gives us examples like this here in verse 25 about husbands. And we as husbands, we as men that have wives, or that's had wives. Husbands, love your wives. We understand and know the relationship and how that is, that the love in an espousal, and the love in a marriage covenant and a marriage bond is different than the love you have for your parents. It's different than the love that you have for your children and your grandchildren. Although that's another total aspect, that espousal love is, you know, far more, should be far more than some of the rest of it.
Amen.
The intimate times, the quiet, the private times, the times, you know, there's a certain thing about the love between two people in a marriage bond and a marriage covenant that all married people know it. And if you're doing right, nobody ever expresses it.
Yeah.
They just know. And you know, you have a child getting married, getting ready to enter into that bonds of matrimony. There's only so much that you can prepare them for. There's only so much that you can explain. Some of it they just have to find out themselves. But because to try to explain it, it's either too private because you don't want to share that private with your of the private times, and or it's just you can't express it. So, you know, we've all had the weddings around here. I've walked two of mine down this aisle. Three of mine. I guess all three of them. No, yeah, all three of them got married here. And walked them down the aisle and gave them away. 6 months after Elizabeth, about 6 months after Elizabeth and Jake got married, people say, well, Brother Bell's pretty hard on them too. And 6 months after they was married, I seen Elizabeth back here in the hallway, and I said, do you now understand why I was so hard on you and Jake in your courtship as far as really putting my hand and my thumb on you as far as your courtship? I said, knowing the strength of the flesh, knowing how powerful the flesh is and the desires of the flesh now that you're 6 months into marriage. And she said, I do. And I said, thank you. That's all I needed to know.
Right.
But I couldn't explain.
Right.
They had to see it for themselves.
Yep.
But each of these, when Brother Paul preached through the Song of Solomon, we read of the relationship there in Song of Solomon. And even though the Bible and God gives us some of these expressions of love that we in our finite can get just little bits and pieces of and understand, in comparison to the infinite love of Christ, we have no clue.
Yes, sir.
And then the third point Wednesday night was the love for me.
Amen.
And there's where we was at there in our text. I am crucified with Christ. Paul writing, nevertheless, and brother, when Brother Shepherd was preaching this morning, he's there in Romans, Paul writing, and he uses, and what he brought out this morning, that little transition of the person, as he, in his writing, he brings it down to I, and me, personally. Because he recognized some things, like was brought out this morning within himself, about sin, and about the flesh, and about the power of sin, and about the power of the flesh.
Right.
And as he's writing here to Galatians, the church of Galatians, Galatia, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, which was the answer that we heard this morning.
Yep.
I thank Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then I've got after the Spirit in the next verse in chapter 1. So Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that really just, wait a minute. It doesn't say my faith in the Son of God. So it's not my faith that we're dependent upon. Thank Jesus. It's His faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Paul writing. I mean, he just brings it right on down. To me, who loved me, and he gave himself for me. And I got to testify, I'm preaching right along those lines because we're more of a study, but then I got to, and then you know, I told of the time that I was in the room behind Brother Steve, there was the production studio, and I heard the song, The Cry of His Child, for the first time as I was kind of going, you know, listening before we put it on the radio. And God and just filled up that room.
Amen.
When I realized that me singular, can get down on the altar and I can go to Him in Jesus' name and He hears me. They got that new telescope going on these days and they're talking about how much greater these pictures of all these other universes and black holes and all these other things were, better than the Hubble Space Telescope can get, and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking about all these universes that's in action. And Christ sustaining it all.
Amen.
But then I can take the time to bow my knee and He comes to me.
Amen.
And He hears me.
Thank God. Amen.
And not only that, it's like He said right here, who loved me.
Yeah.
And He gave Himself for me individually.
Amen.
And I thought about this, Brother Steve, Miss Angie, others. And that's where I went Wednesday night. I said, and when you realize that He was slain before the foundations of the world,
amen.
He done seen me.
Sure.
Amen. He done loved me as an individual. Yeah. Amen. And that phrase that Ellen was singing, the other part of it, but in that one phrase, kind of went right along with that thought. It's me.
Yep.
And my love, as the song was the gist of the song was because of the love He's shown to me, then it put something in me to work out my love, even though that there's no way that I can do that.
Right.
But He loves me.
Amen.
And of course, it's a personal object.
Right.
Personal object of His love. It brings it down to me.
Yes, sir.
And from time to time, I told my church Wednesday night, from time to time, even though we kind of acknowledge it, and even kind of we know about it, just, it wasn't until that, you know, we in that study, and that I was just kind of reminded how personal that love was.
Amen.
He loves the Father. He loves the church collectively. But hey, He loves me.
Amen.
Individually. He knew Isaiah before he was formed in the womb.
Yep.
And when you bring it down to you, I mean, and I told my church, I said so many times, we just get in the hustle and the bustle of life and we just, I mean, the news and politics and you know, the concern of the economy and just all the things that goes on and that floods us. And I said, sometimes you just need to turn off the news, turn off the radio, turn off the phone.
Amen.
Just find yourself a place and get in the, open up the Word of God and realize that there's a love for just you.
Amen.
And a communion that just you can have with the Father. In that prayer closet or that time in the, you know, in the Word. Lisa's about to go nuts after Jesse moved out because, you know, that's just her and her and her through the day. And so, you know, now that the weather's kind of breaking, I said, you know, it's a nice morning. Don't you, you know, take your tea out there on the back patio. And so she's done that. Drink her tea. Get in the Word of God. We carried a certain orange autumn that everybody knows about out to Oklahoma. And I have a little prayer bench literally in my closet. And that's where we put the orange ottoman next to my prayer bench in the closet. And I told Lisa, you know, I've told her several times, told it just yesterday, sitting in Brother Hall's house, you know, there's more that can be done on that orange ottoman. We can do more if we just get a hold of that relationship that we have with Him.
Amen.
And commune with Him individually. The testimony that she said this last year, God showed her what to do and He did it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. What a testimony. What a blessing it is to see and to hear, you know, the growth in the 3 years that I've been gone of some of the folks that here at Island Ford and so on and so forth. And it's just, now I'm on the outside looking back in and hearing and looking and seeing. And it's a blessing.
Amen.
Sometimes we just need to be reminded, look, He died for me.
Yes.
If there were nobody else, if everybody else is perfect, and I was the only sinner in the world. I know I'm not. But He would have died for me.
Yes.
And what a blessing that is. So where it's a personal object, His passion, His love for me, it's personal. And then that, so we're an object of His love, it's a personal, but then we're an object of His performance. He has a work for us. Ephesians chapter 2, we know it. It's quoted 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of works. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There's another prepositional phrase having to do with Christ Jesus. One of the things I heard Brother Ronnie Simpson, I guess, on the station through the internet here back some time ago. And he was dealing with the phrase in Christ. And he was talking about trying to get his church to grab a hold of that. And that just I have been musing on it ever since I heard it from time to time. Just trying to get a hold of all that we have in Christ.
Amen.
Through Christ. Here's the in Christ. So we can be, like he was pointing out this morning, how then this wrestling with the flesh? It's through Christ.
Right.
Here we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So His passion is personal. His love for us is personal. But, and then when salvation happens, and then it becomes a performance, which goes right along with Amelia's song.
Right.
Amelia? Ava. Amelia. Got it. Two A's. Ava's song. He's still working on me.
Yeah, he is.
To make me what I ought to be.
Amen.
So we're created unto good works. Ephesians chapter 4, we're right there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For what reason? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth Be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into... You got to look at these prepositions. Into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The sentence continues on. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Period. Woo! That's a long sentence. We're going to let Brother Hall, since he's got that Bible degree, college degree, and he said under Dr. Hughes and knows how to diagram those sentences. But Dr. Hughes has got that book about, you know, studying the scripture through, and he does these diagrams out on social media. He still is diagramming the Bible. And he puts it out there, and it's kind of prompted me to think of who, what, you know, all you children's getting back to go to school and all these homeschool, and you're looking at your English and you're seeing these prepositional phrases and what modifies what and the adjectives and adverbs and all you moms that's doing all that again with your children at the homeschool, helping with the homework as it comes back, and you're saying, wow, it's been such a long time since I've done this. So trying to get it all straight, adjectives, adverbs, and these prepositional phrases, but you got to see which what modifies what. What is it who is it talking about? What is it talking about? To whom? Sister Woodard teaching me. To whom did it goes back to? This is one of my pet peeves, because I have a Sunday school teacher that off, and then there's preachers that off misquotes this verse right here. They'll say, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, and they'll say, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No. Toward is directional. There's where your repentance has got to be, toward. And that's where your faith has got to be, toward. Pay attention to the words. They mean something. Prepositional phrase, toward, a direction. In would be a prepositional phrase too, but toward is what the Bible says. It's directional. We're fitly joined together and compacted together, and we're a body here. And so the performance, what I'm saying is, not when his love is shown to us and we realize that his love was to us personally, and like the song that Miss Ellen sang tonight, because we have got a hold of salvation and we understand that, then there's something within us that says, what can we do for you? How can we go for you? What can we do for you? And then, of course, here is mentioned the body that's fitly joined together. This is the body of Island Ford Baptist Church. We have the body of Sooner Rose Baptist Church. And then one of the things that really was helpful in 1 Peter, when we dealt with the body a little bit, on the showing charity one to another, talking about within the church. Hospitality one to another within the church. It's not talking about those without, and there's scripture to talk about those without and the benevolent acts that we can do for those that are without, but there's a lot of scripture that's talking about how we interact within the body. No schisms. And then finding your gifts, finding where you are. And I understand that of course, word comes from the grandchildren, trying to see if who might be musically inclined to pick up a ukulele or something like that and do a little picking. I'm praying that they will find their place. Amen. Rebecca is now the pianist at her church. Amen. But when we were, as a family, Elizabeth was our pianist when we was traveling until we lost her, and then it was just a guitar and a mandolin. But then, you know, Anna and Philip had a guitar, but they just never went that way necessarily. But that's okay. And lots of times, you know, these young people are trying to kind of find their place, and you watch their, you know, you watch their lives, and they grow up, and they're teenagers now, and they're trying to figure out where they fit in.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of losing, you know, that little phase that they still like some of the kid things, but then they want to kind of hang around the adults more and more. A little bit less than this and a little bit more to this. And they're just trying to find kind of where they fit in. It's awkward years.
Yes, sir.
But that, it seems like it applies to the church. Lots of times it's just to try to find out what part of the body am I?
Yep.
How can I serve? Where can I serve?
Exactly.
There's the list, the work list for the... For the meeting, you know, it may be something insignificant. In our mind it is, but not in God's mind. He said, if you will bring a cup of water in my name. That's not insignificant. He notices that. He notices the time that nobody's around. And there's a candy wrapper on the floor.
Yep.
And you see it and you pick it up and put it in the trash. He notices that.
Amen.
He sees these little things. And lots of times it's finding out where we ought to be and what we can do and what he's wanting to do with us.
Yes.
Not everybody's the mouth.
Right. Thank God.
Not everybody's the ear. Somebody's got to be listening to us, amen. And there's feet and there's fingers. I like my, you know, these video calls back to the family. And Lena, show Papa where your phalanges are. She knows that these are phalanges. Okay, good to go. So she, you might be a phalange that takes some flour and takes some milk, takes some shortening and make a biscuit for the church.
Amen.
A lot of that might be done in the privacy of your own kitchen.
Yep.
All that we, I know I've been a part of you, so I know who does what lots of times, but the guests coming in, they're not going to know. When you serve it, all they care is some of it gets put on their plate. But God knows. God knows what hands prepared it. God knows who went and worked a public job to earn the money to be able to go to the store and to buy the food that, you know, to buy, you know, everybody had their list. I've got to go to the store Monday and Tuesday, so I have it for Wednesday, Thursday. I done heard some of that. And so God knows who worked a secular job to bring home and to take the little extra out of your paycheck to buy the stuff that you need for the meeting. God knows.
Yes, he does.
God takes account. But then I think in our service, so that we do it cheerfully. He loves a cheerful giver, and that's not necessarily a piece of money in the plate.
Right.
He loves that cheerfulness too, but he loves a cheerful giver if it's getting up and being here and doing. That's giving.
Right. That's right.
And if you do it cheerfully, he loves that.
Right.
Not another one, not one of those. It's Jubilee time again. It's marathon time again. That means I'm going to have to be down and answer phones. What you need to do is turn back to my first point. Get revived in the notion that he loves you. He gave himself for you. Get stirred up again in that knowledge. He died for you. And when you get a picture of his sufferings, yes, it was for the whole world. For God so loved the world, which I'm sure is a point that we're coming up, that he gave his son. But he loves you.
Right. Amen.
Paul had that in Galatians. He understood that. He said, look, it was for me that he died for.
Right.
So when we get to grumbling, we get to complaining, we get to, and this was not in my thoughts earlier, I don't know where this is going, get to grumbling, we get to complaining about our giving, about what, about our doing for the Lord. Like the pastor said, Sister Ellen's song would be good, both of the songs, but they would be good for missions conference because that's our focus. Not only sending, but what can you do?
Right. Amen.
We've heard it from Brother Blue. Yep. It might not be going across the seas.
Yep.
It might not be going across the states. It could be going across the street.
Right. Amen.
There's his alliterated outline that we've heard several times.
Yep.
We have actually, we're not like burning up the streets. But when... there's a little loop right up the road from us. And we got some door hangers from Brother Frazier's ministry. We went and knocked half of it before this thunderstorm came in and got us. But we left. Actually, it wound up being neighbors. Had an older couple coming for a while, and then his dementia and things kind of took them out. But then there's another woman that's came several times and really has a burden that the whole family will come. Just from leaving the door hanger on the door.
Amen.
Not knocking and trying to screen door evangelism.
Right.
Just a simple invite to the church.
Right.
And then one of the things, and it's working, and I see that it's happening, is more and more of, just like Brother Hall, when he was pastor, encouraged us all to do. And at one time, in Brother Hall's ministry, there was that organized, we tried it. But then he encouraged everybody just to be a witness everywhere you go.
Amen.
Every day of your life. But do it as a... Do it because you realize that it's Christ doing it in you.
Amen.
He gave you apostles. He gave you prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry.
Right.
And I know there's work in the marathon. I know there's work in the Jubilee, but lots of times, like has been pointed out by these pastors, so many times we just let the radio station do our evangelism for us.
Yep.
We just let our missionaries do the evangelism for us. When it can just simply be an invitation to church.
Amen.
You're down at the tire store. Hey, where do you go to church anywhere? No? Well, and I know you guys got some of these, and I like these. We've talked. It's just an invitation.
Yep.
Here's an invitation.
Yep.
Here's the service times.
Right.
Yes, it's got a good message inside.
Right.
But you don't have to be like Paul, and even if you are like Paul, and God gives you the words to say that, then hallelujah, you can just go and say, I was on the Damascus Road. He didn't go into this, you know, I mean, he could. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the law.
Yep.
Such in the law blameless, I think he said. Mm-hmm. But he just went back to what God had done for him.
Amen.
I was in a mess. And my boyfriend invited me to church. I hated going to church. God hemmed me up, bedroom, your house. God hemmed me up in my house, my bedroom, and God saved me.
Amen.
But then I got burdened for my boyfriend. Because I realized that he was not saved, even though he wanted me to come to church, only because his parents made him.
Right.
So that's just a testimony. That's a common testimony. That's
right.
A testimony here.
Right.
I gave Brother Mark's testimony. I gave Miss Kim's testimony just the other day as an example.
Amen.
So there was a fella that listened to the radio station back when we was pulling out cassette tapes all the time. And about two or three times a week, we'd get a letter from Mark Barnett in Owensboro, Kentucky, wanting a tape. And the conversation around the radio station, well, who is this Mark Barnett? He writes in all the time for these preacher's hours. He done heard it once, but he wants a tape. He's two or three times a week. Then Mark Barnett, the two boys come on a Sunday morning with one of his friends. No, it was just Mark Barnett and a friend. Was the boys with you? Just Mark Barnett and a friend. Brother Doug Thompson was filling in for Brother Hall. Brother Thompson had talked to Brother Barnett. Brother Barnett was talking about his wife being at Mama's house. And then Brother Thompson got them in. Brother Barnett prayed. And Brother Thompson dealt with Brother Barnett too. He said, were you in church anywhere? And he's like, no. He listens to the radio station. Brother Barnett prayed, and he asked the men to come and pray. And we prayed. It wasn't him too long. Sister Barnett hemmed in the bedroom at Mama's house. Amen. And that's just a testimony. I can give testimony. I can give your testimonies in my preaching and say, I know a person. I know a couple. That this is what God done for them. I can tell what God done for me. You've heard my testimony. I was raised Baptist in church service. My parents were divorced. I was in a Baptist church on one Sunday and a Church of Christ the next Sunday. Hearing two different doctrines growing up. God had been dealing with me about my salvation, but I was hearing two different ways to be saved. But then on a Sunday morning, May of 1981, he hemmed me up in the intermediate Sunday school room of the Meadow Brook Baptist Church.
Amen.
And I bowed on a metal folding chair and asked the Lord to save me, and he did.
Amen.
That's my testimony. And then from that on, he began to do a work. I can look back over my life, 55 years now. And I can see periods of time where God was doing a definite work in my life to bring me to a certain place.
Yes, sir.
Just this week, I look back at my time up here at the veterans home when I was a housekeeping supervisor and realized the skills and some of the things that I learned as a supervisor at a nursing home over housekeepers has directly correlated with pastoring a church.
Amen.
And just managing the church.
Yep.
Supervising the church. But I look and I see that. And God just working and God doing. And so I see that he's doing a work in our lives. But that brings us to, we've done read 11 through 16, but then in 11 through 16 of Ephesians chapter 4, we're almost done. Well, let me just grab Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a verse out of a big sentence. I know I pulled it out of a sentence, very rare for me. But I want to take that back to Ephesians chapter 4, because in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, one sentence, one of the things that he dealt with there is the fact of the word, he uses the word perfect and perfecting.
Yeah.
So not only is a personal passion, but he desires a personal performance in our lives.
Right.
But it was hit on this morning too. In that personal performance, he wants a personal purity.
Yes.
Holiness.
Right.
Perfection.
Amen.
And we see that here for the perfecting of the saints.
Yep.
For the work of the ministry. And like Brother Shepherd said this morning, it's not just changing your ways and doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this, expecting to be perfect out of it all. No. Christ is going to have to do this out in you.
Amen.
Which we see here in Ephesians 2. 19 through 22, and then we'll go back to 4 here in a second. Ephesians 2, 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we're built up, groweth, we're fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple. God wants to abide in us.
Amen.
And we know that we are individually a temple of the Holy Spirit, so there's a certain perfection, there's a certain holiness individually that we ought to ascribe to, that we ought to look to, press toward.
Right.
But then as a church as well, he's writing to the church here.
Right.
As a church as well, fine. You know, we're all finding our place within the church and together working in that unity and being that church that he's coming back after, that church that that is an object of his love, that is going to be without spot and blemish. But that's without spot and blemish is allowing him to work perfection in us.
Yep.
He has a desire for purity in our lives, performance in our lives, but purity in our lives. Why? Because we're the object of his passion,
Amen.
The object of his love. So he has set his love upon us, and he desires certain things within us.
Right.
Performance is one, but purity is another.
Yes.
And I appreciate what Brother Shepherd was saying this morning. I appreciate that Jesse actually got to listen. They're on Eastern time, so they got done early, and he tuned in. He was listening to me and Mama sing.
Amen.
And so he heard the whole service, and I thank the Lord for that. What a blessing. And so that he can, and there's a certain... So he had desires for purification. We see all kinds of things. We're going to get to run these scriptures here. But Ephesians 4, 12 through 16 here. Again, for the perfecting of the saints. There we go. And then we're going to look at 32. We didn't read this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith. All is there.
Yeah.
Come in the unity of faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto, here it is, a perfect man.
Yep.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He, and I dealt with this at our church. He, and we've seen Brother Hall do this same illustration. Anybody that's been in the military, Brother Mark, Brother Rick. You have your formation, you line, dress, and you start marching, but there's a person that's on the corner of the formation. He's the guide on. He's got the standard that you look to that keeps you marching in unity and marching in the right order, and there's a certain cadence involved.
Yep.
This is what you look at, and Jesus Christ is our standard.
Amen.
We're to look to him as a standard. Don't look to Brother Bell. Don't look to Brother Shepherd. Don't look to Brother Hall. These are great men. I sat under both of them as my pastor too. And I learned from them. And I appreciate their wisdom that they've shared with me and the instruction that they shared with me. But if I looked at them long enough, I'd find a flaw.
Right.
If you did me long enough, you'd find a flaw.
Yep. Right. Right.
We're not to... Although he says whose faith follow there in Hebrews chapter 13, and you are supposed to follow his faith as he is led as he's led by the Spirit of God in the ministry and the things of the ministry and what he feels that the ministry needs to be growing, like all the new radio stations. Praise God. So whose faith follow? Can we do this? Yes, we can. Okay. If pastor says we can, I'll follow his faith in this. But as far as perfection and holiness, Jesus Christ is our standard.
Amen.
We're to look to Him, the author and the finisher of what? Our faith.
Amen.
He's the one that we're to pattern our lives after. Let's jump over here. So let's read right here. The fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which is every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse number 22. That ye put off, let's back up, 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we're going to put on that new man. And that was dealt with this morning in Romans chapter 7. And Romans 8. Where he's at. Putting that new man. Putting the flesh down.
Amen.
Which after God is created in righteousness and wherefore putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have need to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Holiness. 1 Peter, real quick, 1 Peter 1 Peter 1:15. I know it's in the middle of the sentence. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be pure. He's working in us. And when I was going down that list there, in Ephesians 4, bitterness and wrath and all those things. Conversation that Brother Hall and I had yesterday. And I'm going to really take that and kind of implement it back when I go back to Island Ford. I mean, I'm at Island Ford. When I go back to Sooner Rose, I'm sorry. I go back to Sooner Rose. We had a conversation and we're talking about dealing with sin. So many preachers deal with sin collectively. And that lots of times people will not deal with their specific sin unless specific sin is dealt with. And I had that in that conversation. I'm thinking to myself, have I been guilty of dealing too much and not calling out malice? Not calling out bitterness, clamor, not calling out being a thief, stealing people's, a drunk, a druggie, whatever, fornicator, adulterer. The old preachers of old, I mean, they'd hammer on the I've heard Brother, what is it? John Barleycorn. Then with liquor.
Yep.
And those revivals that you should have, they would name sin.
Yep.
And it was the drunk, when they was, if drunkenness was named, it was the drunk that was on the altar getting forgiven of his drunkenness.
Amen.
If fornication was dealt with and adultery was dealt with, it was the fornicator and adulterer that was on the altar getting dealt with. And I know, like was said this morning, we in the flesh, I wrote it in the margin of my Bible. Still learning. Appreciated how Brother Shepherd put that this morning when he said, get there, Paul realizes he has the ability to sin, but that his appetite had changed. And yes, we still sin sometimes. But then, like Paul, we should hate when we fall into that sin. And so when the preacher gets up and nails it, here's the altars.
Right.
He's faithful and just. And that's not a license.
No.
But it's a blessing to know
yep.
that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Amen.
But we should hate it. That condemnation should come. And we should strive to holiness, strive Amen. To perfection. Again, not in our own power, because it's not in our own power. But like he dealt with in Romans chapter 7, it's through Jesus Christ our
Amen.
Lord. All of it. Why? Because it goes back to my first point. Because he has set us as an object of his love.
Amen.
If there was nobody else, everybody's had these, it's been a while, pets, these babies, all kinds of babies. I heard there's a, are you serious? I love that video. Are you serious? Am I going to, but these babies that come along, what do you do? You take them and you nurse them and you nurture them. They can't do on their own.
Right.
Why do you do this? Why don't you? You're not like in Romans chapter 1, those without natural affection. I've seen some stuff. Whew. I'm just telling you. I was there 2 weeks as pastor. Probably 2 weeks. And was anointing a 2-week-old baby with oil and praying over it to deliver it from the drugs that was in its system at birth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew.
Yes, sir.
And then the birth parents, they ain't been seen in months.
Yeah.
That's 3 years ago now. And I see stuff and I'm thinking, how in the world can people not? But the Bible tells us about it in Romans chapter 1.
Yep.
But if you have a natural affection, it shouldn't that you leave your child in a hot car, that you just leave your child to just fend for themselves when they can't physically fend for themselves. There is a syndrome, a neglected baby syndrome or some sort of something like that, that people deal with. But if you have a natural affection, you love that object.
Amen.
You nurture that object. Anybody that's a parent, it breaks your heart when they're going through things.
Yes, sir.
As an adult.
Yep.
You look at their lives and you say, well, I've tried to raise them and I've seen my failures, but you've heard the arrows preached. That during the time that you have them with you, you form that arrow and you work on that arrow, because when you let that arrow go, you hope that it hits the mark, and you try to form the arrow of your children to the place where they will hit the right mark.
Right.
But eventually, as we found out last year, when we let the last arrow go, that of the seven, Some stray. But that still, as a parent, does not take away your desire for that child to do right. You still pray. You still interject when you can as an adult. You have to deal with them as an adult. It's not because daddy told you anymore. There's a transition there. Because I said so don't work anymore. But there's a nurturing. Now, flip that around. You're the child. And God's the father.
Amen.
The prodigal son took off. The father didn't go after him. But the father had a place for him when he come back.
That's right. Amen.
The father was looking for him. The father seen him afar off and ran to him. Praise God.
Amen.
And then when he come in, he took him in as the son that he was.
Right.
He covered up the filth with a robe of, with a robe.
Yep.
Just like our filth is covered by the righteousness of Christ. But still, there is a nurturing that the Father wants for each and every one of us individually.
Right.
A phrase that I have started using in my preaching out in Oklahoma that I often turn it around to the church and myself at times is we need to take a mirror and a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we look at the magnifying glass and we look at the others and we point. God really needs to do a work in their lives. Wait a minute.
Right.
You need to look in the mirror.
Right.
Well, I got a suit on and a tie and I carry a King James. Well, no. You need a magnifying glass in the mirror.
Right.
Look a little closer.
Yep.
And you'll see some things.
Right.
Especially if you ask the Holy Spirit to point those things out.
Yep.
And hey, Week of Jubilee is a great time for that to happen. Lord, I want to just thank you for your love for me as an individual, your passion for me. You died on the cross for me.
Amen.
You saved me. Lord, what can I do in return? Lord, what talents have you given me to use for you? God, is there anything in my life that you're displeased with? That's an impurity in my life? Dross in my life that you would like to see taken out? Please, Lord, search me, O God, and try me. David, I think, wrote that. Show me. Know my heart. A mirror and a magnifying glass. Turn it on yourself. Ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to perfect you. Ask the Lord in the dealing with the flesh that was dealt with this morning. Those things that we were talking about this yesterday, that besetting sin. The weights are there too that can be thrown off, but that besetting sin, that one that you nurture. You pull it out and you're like, nobody knows about you. I'll feed you. Just give me some time. It's me again. And if the Holy Spirit of God and through the preached word of God nails that besetting sin.
Amen.
And it's the one that you wrestle with like Paul wrestled with. Because it's fleshly. There's the answer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Right.
He's the answer in salvation. He's the answer after salvation. He's the answer. He's the object. He should be the object of our love. We're the object of His. Help us, Lord. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the day. Lord, I pray that something said spoke to someone's heart, that you'd bless an invitation time, that you'd move on hearts and lives, Lord. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to look to you ever more closer as our standard, and to line our lives up with you and the Word of God. As we heard this morning, the commandments are holy. The law is holy. And Lord, it's through the Word of God and the commandments that will perfect holiness in our lives. Help us, Lord, to look into the Word, the mirror. And Lord, pray that you put the magnifying glass on the Word to show us the impurities in our lives, Lord, that we might confess and forsake and be as right as we can be with you in our walk. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen, amen. We have a song of invitation. And if the Lord's spoken into you in any way, then the altars are open.